God is good. God is awesome. I'm going to finish up a sermon I preached, I think, about 5 or 6 weeks ago. The first part was 10 assets of justification. And I stopped at about 7, 8, and I'm going to finish it at 8. But just to ask, does everybody know what an asset is? Well, here's what the definition says an asset is. It's useful or a valuable thing. That's what an asset is. It's something useful or it's valuable. So we have assets that are tangible and assets that are intangible. What do you think these 10 assets are? Tangible or intangible? They're intangible. Tangible assets are something you can put your hands on. So like your house would be an asset if you had value in it and you're not upside down. Cash would be an asset if you don't have enough debt to wipe it out. But if you have more debt than you have cash, that's not an asset. It's a liability. A certain car could be an asset. It all depends on what you own. My 2006 Sonata is not an asset. I think it's worth about -$70. Hey, I praise God. That car was great. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. I need it 2 more years for it. Hey, I don't want a car payment. My thoughts were to have a car payment because I want a nice car. You know, but the thought of paying it, after 6 months, it's like, story and all that.
I'm a witness.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. There's some cars that are assets. Mine's not. So I'm going to finish up this 10 assets of justification. So I just want to go through the beginning part. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the word depicts what it is you said you were going to do in the Old Testament. You brought it to pass in the New Testament. And we thank you, Lord, for making a way for us. Lord, your word is true. And your word said it's true. And let every man be a liar. So we align our minds and our thoughts with you right now, Lord God. Knowing and believing that you are true and your word is true. We need revealed knowledge of your word, Lord God, as was said earlier. We need revelation knowledge of what you would have us to know in your word, Lord God. So reveal to us what you would have us to know in this sermon, Lord God. And Lord, we're asking for understanding, Lord God. Because without understanding, the knowledge we have cannot be applied. So we want to be doers of your word and not hearers only, Lord God. So bring it to pass in our life that we won't just say we believe, but we will act like we believe. We will show forth our salvation because we have to work out our soul salvation. Strengthen us, Lord. Lead us in God to speak to us in this sermon. Remove me, Lord God, and magnify yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So again, an asset is something that's useful or valuable. These 10 assets in life are valuable to where it can take us in life in Christ Jesus. So just going through the beginning of it, and then I'm going to move right through it, right down to number 7, and I'm going to pick it up right at 7, the 7th asset. Romans 5, this is taken from Romans 5, 1 through 6, and up to this point, this letter to the church, the Roman church, Paul has been building a case against those who refuse to accept Jesus as their Christ. Now, if you go on Google, on our share drive, you know, this part of the sermon I did, but I just want to bring it to remembrance. He also has clearly stated what God has done to provide salvation. Or justification by faith. Romans 5, he turns to us, the believers, in Romans 5 and says, now that we have accepted Jesus as our Christ, what can we expect as children of God? Exactly is the value. What is the value of our salvation? Number one, first of all, it's just the beginning of a great adventure. Would you agree to that?
Amen.
It's just the beginning to a great adventure. It's been said that if you're a believer here, this is the most hell you're going to experience. But if you're not a believer, this is the most heaven you're going to experience. So this is just the beginning of I know, study astronomy. You know, it's just awe-inspiring. And you just can't get it. That there is a galaxy out there that's over 6 trillion light years in diameter. Yeah, then go break all that down. You'll see just how massive that is. God has created an awesome universe, and on top of it, wants to be friends with us. That's amazing. Well, he could have tossed us out with the bathwater. Finally, it's a light with sights, scenes, scents that have never been experienced before. A light on a brand new level of existence. See, all we know is earthly plane. See, Jesus knew heavenly plane when he came here. So he knew what he was going back to. We have no idea what a heavenly plane is. Another dimension. A spiritual dimension. Do you know we can have a part of that here on earth? A spiritual dimension? That's what God calls us to. Not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. To walk believing and knowing that God is. And he's able to do what he said he's able to do. We can have part of that right here on earth if we choose to change our minds. If we choose to believe the written word of God. When we were first born into this world, we had needs of the flesh, right? Someone had to take care of us, right? They had to change our diapers, feed us, clothe us, take us around, lead us, guide us, right? We had mom, dad, family supplied those needs. Now that we have been born again, born of the Spirit, we have spiritual needs. God fulfills the new needs in these 10 assets. So number one, write this down, because I'm just going to go through the first six and give them to you. You can look them up. They're in Romans 5, 1 through 6. The first one is peace with God. That's how it all starts. You got to have peace with God. The only way to get that is you got to believe on the finished works of Jesus Christ. Then you have peace with God. Number two, there's a few in there. It's access. There's three in number two. It's access, grace, and rejoicing in hope. Getting down to number five. Number five is rejoice in adversity. Oh, yeah. Anybody going through some adverse times right now? Yeah. Anybody rejoicing in it? Yeah. Look, if the Bible says to rejoice in adversity, that's what it means. And if we're not doing it, then shame on us. We can only blame ourselves. Amen? Amen. Number six. Perseverance. To persevere through the adversity. What's another word for perseverance? Patience. Is life not but patience? Is life not but patience? We want things. We want to go places. God do this, God do that. Help here, help there. We need, right? And God is like, look, all in its right time, and right frame of perspective. Because God, here's what God knows. This is how awesome God is. God knows every possible step we can take and every outcome of that, every possible step we can take. You all get that? You know they both built a whole theory on that called a multiverse? On that theory right there. But God knows, truly knows. Man built a theory on it. That if you step this way, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And they built a theory called a multiverse on it. God knows every step and every possibility of that step that we can take. So God, what he does is, he corrals us, right? Through adversity, which creates patience, so that we will know it's God doing the delivering and leading. But we have a problem with persevering, don't we? Come on, saints. Don't we? We got a problem waiting on God because we want God to do it in our time, our way, and how we think it should be done. And where do we find ourselves in that heaven? In a what? You sure? Yeah, we find ourselves in a massive mess. Big pig. So number seven, picking it up right here. If perseverance does nothing else, it leaves us with what? Proven character. So God is trying to get our character in line, right? He's trying to get us to a point where we just constantly, without doubt, without movement of our eyes to the left or the right, to trust him. So knowing, and I said this before because I wanted to pick it up at number seven, knowing is what's called a perfect participle, a completed action. So when you truly know that you know that you know it's done, right? It means that we knew in the past, we continue to know in the future, even in the midst of the problem, we know that God is able, he's going to deliver, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Principle. We are not to let problems take us away from doctrinal thinking. So you know what happens with believers, and I said this before? We let issues take us away from what the Word of God says and how we should think through it because we're mad. We're upset. We're like little kids kicking and screaming. And God's like, just focus on this, do this, do that. We're like, no. Look, you may not say it, but you act like it, so you might as well say it. God, your actions already say you're saying no anyway. So you might as well just say no, God, I'm not doing it. Doesn't God know? We might as well stop. See, 2015, we shouldn't play this game no more. If you're playing the game, you need to stop. Because the game is going to end you up in a pit of despair. And believers shouldn't despair because once they despair, bad decisions come out of it. Bad thoughts, bad motives, bad actions. We shouldn't be moved from doctrinal thinking. If it's right, it's right. Okay, God, I know it's right, but I'm not doing it. That's it. You might as well say it. The strength, the power is always in God's Word. See, the strength and power is always in God's Word. It's not in us and what we think, but it's in what God's Word says it is. Here's kingdom thinking. We're banking on the character of God and the validity of His Word. That's how we should be thinking. We're banking on God and the validity of His Word. That's a kingdom-minded thinker. What's an earthly-minded thinker? The exact opposite. I can figure it out. I can do it on my own. I'm going to call it all. Hey, remember that sermon Pastor preached? That thing was right on point. I'm going to call it all. And we do it. And then we get off track, and God is like, look, I had this for you over here, but you decided to go this way. Now we got to deviate all around back here to get to this point. Are you ready to serve now? See, God's like, I got this for you here. But we go off track. We go horribles. And God's like, if you just would be patient and wait, you will get what you want. You may not get it when you want it, but you'll get it. Isn't that the same thing for your kids? Right? If your kids act right, what happens? Why did I get you that iPod? It costs a lot. But if you do what I say to do, boom, 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 here's your reward. Why is it any different with God with us? We just won't be patient. We go orders all the time. Regardless of our condition, God never changes. We can stop, kick, scream. We go through all the changes, but God is not changing. Some of us have some really tough parents who made us hold the line, right? Did they change? I know mine did. Mine didn't change. I would kick, stomp, scream, and then I get a beating. And with a belt or a switch. Yeah, what? Extension cords? Changes. His love and provisions are just as big and bigger. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. That's in Romans 5:15. See, his grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. He has not just grace, but he has abundant grace for us. But there's only one way to obtain that, and that's to walk in his will. There's no other way. Here's kingdom thinking. We anticipate with full confidence you are in his plan. See, you got to anticipate that thing. You got to already know it through the changing of your mind, which changes your belief, which changes your what? The ability to anticipate that God is going to do what he says he's going to do and to stand on it. Brian Courtney sang a song already here. He sang a song called Already Here. Look it up. Have you ever heard? Anticipating that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. That's a good God. Therefore, we can celebrate his greatness. Whether we are weak, strong, sick, or well. See, it doesn't matter after that. Here's number 8. This is what gives us 8, 9, and the 10th asset, which is hope, expectation. And when someone says, I hope, they're actually saying, I expect. But we use it in another form. But we're really saying, I expect. Or confidence, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit within. Here's Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given us. Literally, this says, and hope does not disappoint. So to expect God, you're not going to be disappointed. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given us, given to us. In Romans 10:11 it says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You will never be put to shame. The idea of shame is this, as used here, is one of disappointment. If his salvation failed, God would be shamed. You get that? If his salvation failed, he'd be shamed because now his word isn't his word. If his hope and assurance fail, God would be shamed. If his word were not true, God would be shamed. We would be disappointed, lost, no hope at all. Worst of all, God would not be God. Because everything that makes God, if that occurred, he would not be God. But of course, God is God. His word stands. His promises are sound. Let me tell you something. You've got to get into the promises of God. There's a way to take the word of God and to move it into your subconscious in a way that you will become a walking, thinking Bible. There's a way to do it. But you got to get it in your subconscious. You got to get into his promises. His salvation is permanent. There's no removing that seal. There is a belief out there that folks believe that you can actually remove the power and the seal of the Holy Ghost. A man or a woman can remove the seal of God. We don't have any way of saving ourselves, but we believe, some folks believe that they can remove the seal of God. That's almost amazing. Know one way, but don't know it in this way, a permanent salvation. It all goes hand in hand. Consequently, we have full assurance, total confidence in Jesus as our Christ. 9, that brings us to the 9th gift, the love of God. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts, within our souls, within the very center of our lives. How? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have the love of God that indwells our spirits. It's already in there. We just got to tap it. In Ephesians 1, we have the assurance that the Holy Spirit resides in us if we trust Jesus as our Christ, as our salvation. His purpose is to be a seal, both a sign of protection and approval. The indwelling Holy Spirit serves as a down payment. Who's bought a house? I bought a house, bought a few houses over life, over time. Didn't you have to put a down payment down? You had to put a seal down, right? That this is a good deal. They didn't want you to say, I'm going to buy it without putting down some kind of down payment. Because they didn't know if you're going to walk away or not. They wanted some what's called skin in the game. The more they have, the more they know you won't walk away. The less you have, the easier it is to walk away. But that's everything in life. If you only think that was is salvation. And that's because of God. Everything else, guess what? You got to work for it. And not in your own strength, but by the power of God.
Well, God is good. God is good.
On all the great things that God gives to
to those who trust him, the indwelling Holy Spirit serves as a down payment.
How great is his love? Just who would be willing to sacrifice your firstborn? Who would be willing to do that? Sacrifice your firstborn. Just who is worth all the pain, agony, abuse, and death? That slow, brutal death that Jesus suffered. I'm not. You're not. But to God we were. His great love led Jesus to take on flesh. To take on flesh. The Almighty God, the Word, who was in heaven, bound himself up in a body for our sake. To suffer shame and rejection. You know, I've said this many days. We hardly can tolerate folks who lie to us. Am I right?
Amen.
Who try to deceive us. Amen. Who speak on one side of their mouth and out the other, right?
Amen.
We can barely tolerate folks who just mix words with lying and truth. And then look at us like they're speaking the truth. The Word of God came in flesh and all man did was lie to him. And God tolerated that. And still went to the cross. Knowing that he could have spoken a word any time. Wiped out of existence. Change a person's mindset. Crippled them. You name it. All the vile things we think we would do if someone, you know, if we were in that position. You know those thoughts we had when people just get on our nerves? Or we've been harmed physically? Or someone has come against us in a way that we are just like, oh, I want to get them. God didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. He took on and endured the beatings and the sarcasm, the shame, the rejection. He agonized for hours on that cross to succumb. When his Father's fellowship was ripped from him, that's the love of God. That's the fuel for his mercy and grace. Mercy to cover our faults and failure. Grace to meet our need at that very moment in time when we need that need to be met. That's grace. Number 10. This brings us to the 10th attribute of justification. The Holy Spirit within. Has anyone ever really sat and thought about that? We have the Holy Spirit who indwells our regenerated spirit and what that means? Have you ever really pondered that or meditated on that? That you have God Almighty indwelling you. Do you understand the power you have? Think about it. That is power that's not bound. That's an endless supply of power. All things are possible to them that believe. Do you hear what I'm saying? All things are possible to them that believe. It's that simple. God planted himself, the Holy Spirit, within our very spirits. He created within everyone who believes a new spirit. So we have a regenerated spirit. There is where he dwells, right along with the Father and the Son. We have the full power of the Godhead and access at all times. The full power of the one who created all things, the Holy Spirit who indwells. And here's how he did it. Romans 5, 6 says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. This verse looks back to Romans 4, 5, but to the one who does not work, that's us, because we didn't do any work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. See, we didn't have to do the work. You know there was folks who tried to do the work and failed? Every prophet, apostle, everyone who's come beforehand, God is like, do your thing. They all failed. We failed. We didn't have to work. Jesus did all the work. We were helpless. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For us, the helpless, the hopeless. Nothing about God made him proud. There's nothing about us that made him proud. See, Jesus indwelling us our regenerated spirit. When he sees the blood, we are now acceptable. And he's proud. But without that, there's nothing about the human creation that made him proud. At least once God voiced regret that he even put us on the earth.
Remember that? In Genesis, he regretted that he even made man. He was disappointed. We were a great disappointment to God. And even sometimes we still are now. When we have all this power indwelling us, regenerated spirit, Holy Spirit indwelling, the Godhead at our disposal, we still disappoint God. We were without Christ within us. We are still ungodly. We are still an act ungodly at times. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. It was not because there was something within us that he thought he could develop. You understand that? There is nothing in your flesh, in you, that God thinks he can develop that will be great. Don't fool yourselves. What God can develop is your mind and your regenerated spirit. But in your flesh, there's nothing good. It's all sinful. It's all rotten. It's all nasty. And it's all bad. But let me tell you something else. Each and every one of us can do the worst thing that the worst person we think did on earth. We all have that indwelling in our flesh. Your flesh is just as bad as Hitler's was. Genghis Khan. You name it. Just as bad. There's nothing that God wants to develop in your flesh. But what he wants to do is develop your mind to conform to his word. Amen?
Amen.
Actually, salvation is starting over again. So you get a fresh start. Because what does God do with all those sins? Throws them in the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
Once you come to the Lord, all that stuff you did, gone. You know what the beauty about God is? Even when we mess up now, he still doesn't drag us back to him and say, look what you did. Remember what you did? He doesn't bring back those nasty memories, those thoughts, those things. God says, let's move on. I forgive you, let's move on. Change your mind. The death of Jesus did not offer refurbishing. He wasn't trying to refurbish our flesh. A lot of times, some of us, we buy some refurbished electronics, right? Some of those things are good. Not gonna lie. And less expensive. But when it comes to God, he wasn't trying to refurbish us. It offered a new birth, a new beginning. It overstepped everything, everything wrong, every fault, every egotistical moment that had been lived since the Garden of Eden. He breathed new life into an old body. And these bodies are old. 6,000 some odd years old. Going with the sevens. Have you ever researched it? It was not life in the flesh, rather, it is life in the spirit. This is where Adam started, but he lost it. In Christ, we can't lose it. So we can't lose the regeneration. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. We have God's guarantee on that. He offers salvation, not probation. Probation is purgatory. Life on earth, they offer probation. You get caught up in that, it can be a problem. Because every little step they watch. And some probation officers are nasty. Bad people want to trip you up. See, what God offers is the newness. New beginning.
Amen.
New and living way. That's all for probation. Thank God.
Yes.
God is good.
Yes.
Not because we deserve it, but because he loves us.
Amen.
And what kind of love does he love us with? Sacrificial. Agape love.
Amen.
Not that feeling stuff that we actually believe is all-encompassing love. It's not that. It's a decision of love. I decide to love you without all the emotion attached to it. God is awesome. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The word for is a preposition which means substitution. Jesus was our substitution to put in place of. God repeats this in verse 7 and 8. The emphasis is that Jesus took our place when he went to the cross. That
grace. He took our place. Because there's nothing good in dwelling us. So he took our place. You gotta really meditate on that. Do you know there's folks in hell right now since the great flood? We act like life on earth is a burden to live sometimes. Do we not? Oh, woe is me, right? Oh, my life. Oh, my. Joyce Myers, man, she did an awesome thing on that one day. Man, she went in from the pulpit. But there are people in hell from the great flood waiting to be resurrected. And you got to stay down there for the whole 1,000 years, right? After the tribulation and the great tribulation. Then be resurrected to be cast into the lake of fire. That's hard life. That's our life. And he took our place that we wouldn't have to deal with that. You better think about that. You didn't have Jesus, you'd be in hell. Wait to be cast into the lake of fire. 70 years on earth can be troublesome. You know what the Bible says? Man's days are full of what? Trouble. And there's folks in hell right now. Waiting to be resurrected, to be tossed into the lake of fire. And you're sitting there because God chose you. You don't know why, he just loves you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
He's worthy to be praised.
Yes, hallelujah.
You better start thinking of these things. When you're going through, you better think of these things. How good God is. He could have left you right where you were. God is awesome. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have to be just as pure and sinless as God for him to accept us. How does he do that? He sees the blood. To be accepted and blessed by him. And God doomed his own son to sinful death in our place, so we would not have to endure separation from God. When you're going through, you got to think of these things. You got to think of these things. Because you could die tomorrow and not be born again. And you'll be in hell and a whole 1,000 years is going to go by. Just to get resurrected. Be cast into a lake of fire. Got to think of these things. This is the way that God did it. The way he made us acceptable. The very holiness of God was stripped from the Son and given to us, the ungodly. He stripped it from Jesus, took it from him, and gave it to an unworthy people.
Thank you, Lord.
And sometimes, even today, we still act unworthy. 2015, we got to get it together. God has been too good. Way too good. Paul asked the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. I don't belong to myself. We've been bought with a price.
Yes, sir.
We should be willing to serve because God is that good. Paul asked Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit, the truth of the gospel. That was entrusted to you. Guard it how? With the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. God did not save us just to toss us helpless back into Satan's world. We have to work out our soul salvation. God's not going to just do it all. He's not. We have to work out our own soul salvation. We have to. We got to study the word. We got to meditate. We got to do what God calls us to do. And then you know what God has? An abundant grace for us. An abundant grace. Get this finished up. When we let Jesus be Lord as well as Savior, because when we accepted him, right, when we say yes to the finished works, we're saying, okay, God, we believe, Spirit's regenerated. When we ask him to be our Savior, that's a whole different ballgame. Our Christ. Our Lord to sit on the throne of our life. That's two separate things. Believing on the finished works of Jesus is giving you a regeneration. Sanctification is a decision. That's a decision you have to make every day, every minute of every day, every hour of every day. 24 hours a day, you have to make a decision to walk in sanctification, to walk in the call that God has called you. That's a decision you have to make. You make unto salvation once. From that point, you got to continue to decide, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. It doesn't happen unless you decide it, unless you change your mind. So then we live this way, with his resources, with him in us, with all the heavenly blessings. God still gives us the choice. That's the beauty of God. Look, you want your free choice, by the way. You want free choice. Free choice is awesome. You get to choose. Do you know how good that is? Do you know there's been people on earth who never got to choose for themselves, who lived in slavery all their life? Didn't have freedom? They didn't get to choose. You get to choose if you're going to be free or if you're going to be bound. It's your choice. That's how good God is. And you want that. His way, the straight and narrow way to eternal life, or our way, the broad way to destruction. Yeah. See, our way leads to much destruction, but his way leads to eternal life, awesome grace, beautiful life, living in the promises. That's how good God is. So let us choose wisely. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is good.